dear brother and sister. The people are crying for peace. How can we have it? Peace should start from our hearts. We should bring out peace as given out by Guru Nanak. He prayed, "Peace be to all the world over, O Lord, under thy will." So for this, naturally, there should be a spiritual revolution. I'm using the word revolution, you see. The world is already in revolution. And this revolution should be different from other revolutions. This revolution will not be of the body, but against the evil propensities of the mind which keep us away from God. This will be achieved if we give right understanding to the people at large, which will result in right thoughts. First comes understanding, then comes thoughts, and from right thoughts will result in right speech. And right speech will result in right actions. The whole thing starts from the right understanding. So you'll find right understanding lies in the fact, what? First, that there is a maker of the universe who is the controlling power and permeates all creation. This world did not come out of itself. This maker of this, the scientists lately have come to the conclusion that the whole creation is controlling by some power which is conscious. So that first thing it is, the whole world is the manifestation of God. No east, no west. The earth below and sky overhead is his manifestation. Guru Nanak went to Mecca. At night he was lying down with the tree towards Mecca, the house of God. The servants over there rebuked Guru Nanak, "Why are you lying with your feet towards Mecca, the house of God?" He politely told them, "Dear friend, I see God all around. There is no place where He is not. If you think God is on the other side where God is not, then you may turn my feet towards that." So Master say, all is holy where devotion kneels. This is first right understanding. As this I, a great Mohammedan says, he says, the whole world is blessed because God permeates all. If my fathers find the time for prayers, they can sit on any ground, anywhere, and say prayers to God, no matter what way their face is, because God is everywhere. Quran, the Mohammedan scripture with us, also says that God is everywhere. That matters little when you face westward or eastward. You say your prayers where you are. So this is the first right understanding. We are living in Him, being in Him, in us, out us, above us, below us. Like fish, we are having no resistance in Him. That is right understanding. And further, God made man with equal privileges, all born the same way, no high, no low, all have got the same constitution outside, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, mouth, and two on the knee. Every day morning, municipality takes a fifth of the body. No height, no low. Inner constitution also the same. And the same body, we are keeping us in the body some higher power, which is the same for all. So this is the right understanding that we are. If we have this thing, God resides in every heart. All is holy with devotion news. All are born with the same privilege from God. No east, no west. So this will result in right thoughts. On my last visit, I attended one meeting which is called the East and the West. All who visited this America, they were asked to attend that meeting, and I was also one of them. Each man gave his own state where Swami has come. When my turn came up, I told him, it is sad, of course, that East is for the East and West for the West, and the two shall never meet. But I told him, there is no East and West. The whole creation is the house of our Father. All countries are the so many rooms in the house of our Father. It is we who have made these things on account of, for want of right understanding. So this is the one thing. Scientists have also now come to know that there is one power controlling all creation, which is consciousness. If you have this understanding, what will be the result? Your whole angle of view will be changed. All, we are all children of God, the same Father, the two fathers of God and brotherhood of man will be cemented. So this is what is, I mean spiritual revelation. The people will say from the godlessness. So Kabir says, behold, but one in all things. Guru Arjuna says, visible and invisible, all are His manifestation. Lord Krishna says, what? He who sees me in all things in me is my dear. To masters, when they come, they say, first message they bring is, there is God. They say, we have seen God. With what eyes? Then those eyes are different from these eyes of flesh and bones. That eye exists in everybody. That's called third eye, single eye, latent eye. So the whole world, they say, is His manifestation, and He resides in every heart, and as such, physical body, we are having the true temple of God. So by right understanding, I mean that. If this right understanding is brought to the notice of all people at large, that with right understanding, that we realize right thoughts, then will come right speech and right actions. Although we are wearing different labels of religions, all the same we are all one. These labels show only that we, with particular tool, we have joined to realize this unity. The ultimate goal of all religions is to know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves first. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, mind or intellect. Soul can alone know the old soul. Like knows the like. The primal manifestation of God is called word or noun, which is the cause of all creation. Who is the maker of all creation, controller of all creation, and permeating all creation. You'll find in the Bible, that is why it says, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So similarly, Veda says so. They use the word Parjapati for that, exactly the same word. Similarly, Guru Nanak orders the saint that thus, Naam is the creator of all the universe. So this is God into expression power. When manifested, there was vibration which results in light and sound. So this power, Master, people have given myriads of names to express this power. The sages have described God in innumerable ways. Some call Him Swami, means Lord. Others call Him Agam, incomprehensible and indescribable. Satpurusha means eternal. There are many other qualitative names which go to express the name of this power. To differentiate between the two, these are some words given to denote that power which is the cause of all creation, the outer expressions of which is light and sound. So Master comes to differentiate sometimes to clarify the whole position. Ninth Guru, Guru Tegh Bahadur, in question, what is that noun, the remembrance of which leads to nirvana? Again he says, what is that noun, the repetition whereof enables the person. So that is God into expression power, contact which is possible when in man body only. Guru Arjuna says, a contact with Naam makes oneself luminous, the luminosity varying with myriads of suns. So I am quoting only to show what the Master really meant. We say Ram. Ram means permeating all. The word Ram means what is permeating. That what is permeating, that's a different thing. The word Ram means is permeating. So these words go to express that power which is the cause of all creation, which can be seen with the, not with the eyes of flesh or bones, but with the single eye or third eye which is opened by the Master. So by the grace of God, a true initiate prays, O God, manifest the divine light of now within me. It is already there. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. So it is something Guru Nanak says, it is not the subject of it. What of the eye? It is something wonderful. Those eyes are different which can be seen. So all Master has been telling like that. Kabir says, There are myriads of names in the world, myriads, but none of them can grant salvation. They follow, mark you. There are myriads of names given to God, but none of them grant salvation. And which is that particular name which gives salvation is the primeval name, is a hidden one. And the rare soul can know and realize that the hidden name. That is the power permeating all creation. The outer expression of which is light and sound that can be seen by eyes, not the flesh and bones, but the inner eye. That is not music of the spheres, which can be heard not with the physical ears, but that inner ear which exists in every man. So you will find, with the grace of some master, we who can open this new world within us, we see. So take the example, you see, to understand the thing. Water is a liquid thing, called in different languages by different names. It is called water, aqua, in Latin, you in French. In Spanish may be something different. In English it is called jal, neer. Persian it is called ab. In another language it is called pani. So these are the words go to denote that liquid thing by drinking which you can satisfy your thirst. Not by repeating the mere names given to express that liquid water. So God is to expression power. It's called world, it's called nam, that is called kalpa, which is the creator of all creation, and that is to express light and sound. Masters come, they contact with the God into expression within us. You see? Open our inner eye by raising us some about the physical body and outward faculties. We begin to see. So that is why it is said, you see, devotion nam to nam is the only true worship. God is spirit. We can worship in spirit alone. Outer worlds are used as an instrument itself to direct what is what. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. Guru Amar Das says, everyone does worship, but on the sensual plane only, so they get no results to genuine salvation. But absorption in the Naam purifies the mind and bears fruit in abundance. You know how to follow? Words are words, but these words, what do they denote? That is a different thing, that is the controlling power of all creation, permeating all creation, and permeating and controlling us in the body too. So body is the true temple of God, in which we really dwell, and also that power keeps us in the body. So, the great by the word of Lord where we have made, and all the host of them. He spake and it was done. Kun piyun. These are scriptures say so. Now you follow what is meant by Naam or word or God. So Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Master says, there is God, very definitely, who is the maker of all creation, permeating all creation. And further they say, this world did not come out of itself, but it is made by some power which is conscious. So masters tell us like that. Then becomes all this manifestation is is God's. Because He is the creator, there is nothing was before Him. All these should be made after Him, means these are the manifestation of Him. Now the question arises, why can't we see Him? When the Master said they do see Him, why can't we see Him? Why can't we see Him? They say, because He is the subtlest of the subtlest. Ati agam. If you now try to understand by example, India, nothing appears to be there, all vacant. But if you see through a microscope, what it does, it magnifies things 700 times bigger. You look through it, you'll find all this atmosphere full of microbes. So if you see through a microscope, the air will appear to be full of microbes or insects, which heaven it is now. So if our eye becomes to the level, or to that level, or that what is in the air magnified to come to our level, we will be able to see Him. If in man body the wonderful house we live in, it has got 9 apertures, but we cannot run away out of it. There are 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, mouth, 2 ears, 2 underneath. We cannot run away out of it. So body works as long as we are in the body, we are in the body as long as some power keeps us in the body. When that is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. So God resides in the body, we also reside in this man body, God also resides in this body, keeping us in the body. So man body is the highest in all creation. It is a golden opportunity afforded to us to enable us to see God. So in man body only we can know God, and in no other body. So saints tell us, well, strange enough, while God is with us in the body, we see Him not. He says, though to see every man in top blind. He says, fight on a lifeless life like this. They see light is in everybody. Take it that the light within you is not darkness. The Master come, well, all right, they make people see you who do not see. It cannot be seen if it is not already there. So Kabir says, the world, entire world is groping darkness. If it were a question of 1 or 2, they could be set right. But he says, wherever I see, all are blind in the terminology of the speech of spirituality. So Guru Nanak said to the enlightened ones, all are per blind. Man who sees Him is there, and other people do not see, naturally they are spiritually blind. When you come to a Master, what is there? He makes you see. Open your inner eye, or the third eye, or the single eye, which can be seen. So in the terminology of the saints, the word blind means not those who have got no eyes on the forehead, but whose inner or single eye is not opened. So the eyes of flesh see Him not, but the Master illumines the eye, you see, within. The worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God in himself. When Master comes, he opens the inner eye. Now, why can't we see again, I would say, enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds, not less darkness. Without a perfect man, none has found the way, nor one can do so. As I submitted yesterday, you know, all outer aspects, subjects, we need somebody to guide us in the outer ways, those ways which are at the level of housing faculty, mind, or interest. And this is a way which is with all philosophies and their religion starts. That needed somebody to usher you into the beyond, to rise above body consciousness, to draw your attention from all outside, and open the single light to see the light of God. Here also such a person requires, when you go beyond, there also you need it. It guides you further too. One comes across a perfect master, he cannot see. When he comes to the feet of the master, he begins to see. We are blind before coming to him in the terminology of the saints. When he gives a sitting, we become with eyes. When we come to him, we are deaf, spiritually deaf. When he gives a sitting, we begin to hear the sound of voice of God. The master said, you see, what the old prophets did all their best but could not see. You hear what the old prophets could not hear. Are not such people are most fortunate to have a living master? So body is verily the true temple of God, and the Holy Ghost dwells in it. Emerson says, tapping inside and going into the foxhole in the brain. This foxhole in the brain is called Brahmarudra, the Veda, Brahmarudra. And President Truman also referred to it that when he was tired with the outer performance of duties, he entered to the foxhole of the brain. Vedas call it, you see, Brahmarudra, perception, intuition, and reasoning just help to understand the reality to a certain extent, not beyond. Now, you see, you're understanding this. At the level of the intellect, but seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye, this intellect and ingress, we know little or nothing about that. This is what the Master gave. So Nanak says, the blind know not the door. And Christ refers to it, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Whoever hears my voice, I shall pass, sup with him and he will sup with me. So we will have to revert to the third eye, latent eye, or the third eye, Shivnetra within us. God said, let there be light. The result was what? There was light. Didn't say so. And this is the sunlight that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And light is the life of man. That light is within you. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. So all scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life. Go hand in hand. Ring radiance, you might say, to what you use to do. Ring radiance. Emanating from the formless absolute existence when it came to manifest the world in its relegated colors or countless shapes and forms. Thank God, He has made all creation and He is not still away from that. He also permeated it. He is permeated in all creation, He is still quite above all this creation.
Hello. And welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the evening talk given by Master at the Galt Ocean Mile Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on December 7, 1972. It was named The Coming Spiritual Revolution. Our reader this evening is Claire Stannard.
Hello, everyone. This talk is called The Temple of God. It's an English translation of a talk delivered in Hindi by Master Kirpal Singh at Satsang in India. This talk was published in the March 1970 issue of Satsang Desh. People whose eyes have been opened by the realization of the truth view the world differently from others. Realized men often form the question, "What is this world?" God said, "From one I will become many." Though it is all His manifestation, from inert matter to consciousness. You may take water from a stream, freeze it, and it becomes ice, but both are the same substance from the same stream. So, from inert matter up to consciousness is all His manifestation. The whole world is the temple of God, and there is no place where He is not. This is how all realized souls regard the creation. Why is it that we cannot look at the world as they do? Because the curtain of ignorance divides us from this knowledge. Someone has written that although the fish lives in the sea or river, and her life-giving substance is water, yet she constantly asks, "Where is water?" Living in water, yet dying of thirst. It is ironic. It is said that with one ray of light, the whole world was created. When God said, "I want to manifest myself," there was light. It can be likened to a potter who makes small and large pots, perhaps even an elephant or a horse, or cup, or pitcher, but the same potter is making all the articles, and with the same clay. So, this is our condition in the world. Because people are unaware of and have no contact with reality, the world is full of unrest and trouble. The Masters say that with the same light, the whole world was created. So who is good and who is bad? The physical body is a miniature Brahmand, consists of the three divisions of creation, physical, astral, and causal. Or you can say it is a tiny world in itself. It is said that he who searches within this miniature Brahmand will find the truth. Both the body and the world, which is a bigger Brahmand, are made of matter. Each individual is consciousness or has his own personal consciousness. Outer temples, mosques, churches were made in the image of man, dome-shaped like the head or forehead-shaped mosques or nose-shaped churches. And in all religious places, the holy light is represented in one way or another. If the same light is lit in all holy places, then what is the difference between the various forms of worship? All outer images were made to help people to understand the truth, that the light is shining within man. It is the life of the soul, this light. The body that we carry around is the temple of God. In companionship, within the same house, both brothers are dwelling, but they do not converse with each other. These two brothers are living together, the soul and God. What a great misfortune! They live together but do not talk to each other. The reason? He who has to realize the other is tossing about outwardly from place to place. He does not know that he has to withdraw and rise above the senses to realize who he is. If he did that, he would see who was sitting beside him. The men who became realized all have said that the body is a living temple of God. The outer temples are made by the hand of man. When I was in London during my world tour, I gave a talk pointing out that all masters have said that God does not reside in temples made with stone. One Christian minister, a Reverend Stubbs, stood up and said, "You have thrown an atom bomb on all our churchianity. We have made the churches, mosques, and temples with our own hands. But the true temple of God, the physical form, was made by God himself. The indweller of this true temple is frequenting the man-made temples. Is it not a sorry state? We ourselves made the copies and put the light there. They are copies of our own temple, within which the light is burning day and night. Sometimes thousands of true temples are sacrificed for the sake of one imitation. Is it not so? If one holy building is defamed or insulted by any other religion, thousands die because of it. All outer places of worship are for those whose eye is not open. Nevertheless, from our heart, we should have respect for them. Why? Because we sit there in remembrance of God, for which purpose they were made. When a child is in the womb of the mother, what machinery makes his eyes, nose, ears, hands, and feet, etc.? It is some unseen power of which man knows nothing. That power is the one who abides in the temple which he himself has made. This human temple comes to man through great good fortune or destiny, but is not valued enough. Forgive me if I use such words, but we consider it to be merely a sack full of waste matter. But beautiful palaces also have latrines. So the body has its own municipality, which takes out the filth every morning. But we are living in it, and our life-giver, God, is also living there. We should even kiss this body with reverence in acknowledgement that it is truly the temple of God. That is why masters have indicated to tap inside. When we look at the human form, it seems just 5 or 6 feet physical body, but inside is a very big world. The whole of Brahmand is residing within. Go inside and see. Maulana Rumi Sahib says, "O man, close the doors of your shop. Open the inner shop. Then will the work be done." All masters say similar things in their various languages. I searched for the hidden inner path, but only through the master was the secret revealed. What is a Guru Mukh? He who has searched inside the human form. That is what is written in the Guru Bani, words of the Gurus. Even if outwardly the wisdom of the whole world has been sifted mentally and intellectually, with the help of the senses, but yet the inner search has not been made, then the real thing cannot be attained. The masters, after withdrawing from outside, traveled inside by leaving the body and transcending above it, above the physical, astral, and causal planes. Those who have transcended all this have reached their true home. Whatever they saw and heard has been recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Whatever they saw inside, you should also go in and see, and then you will be able to describe your experiences. Whosoever saw such wonders all said the same things. Now do you understand this? He who sees describes that very thing in that very same way. In India, the realized souls expressed themselves in Sanskrit. They have given the same description, that inside there is a very big sun in Brahmand in which the sound is vibrating. The hidden teaching of this was given by Ingris Rishi to the son of Devaki, Lord Krishna. The masters who came in Persia gave the same information in Persian. In Punjab, the gurus who came said the same things in their language. A contact with the ringing radiance of God within will develop love of God in thee. Haltu Sahib came and said, "There is an inverted well in the Gagan, seat of the soul, where the lamp burns without wick or oil, and from the light of the lamp a sound is reverberating. Only he who goes into Gyan Samadhi, rises above body consciousness, can hear it. That lamp is a light for all the 24 hours in each day, and from it a sound vibrates. Who can hear that sound? Go into deep meditation and then hear it. He who sees knows the same thing. The truth is that this body is a temple of God, and the whole world is a temple of God. It is a statement from those who searched into the inner regions." Do you know that no temple has been erected here in Sawan Ashram? Can you see any temple, mosque, church, or other sacred building here? There is none. And why? Because this is a place called Ruhani Satsang, spiritual gathering. Beneath us is the ground, and above the skies. This is our temple of God. That is all. And then, this body we have got. There is no ism attached to it. I congratulate all the isms or religions which have helped man in discovering the real truth lying hidden in the body. But what is the world doing today? Instead of trying to search out the truth within, as we are told to do, we have started fighting amongst ourselves in the very name of religion. So, self-realized people always advocate to go within and realize oneself. To do this, one just has to have the curtain of darkness drawn away. How is that done? He who has already withdrawn that curtain will do so for others too. He who has not done so, how can he help others? If the doubt has not been removed from the heart, one will always own a difference between a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, Buddhist, Jain, or Turk. These are all labels that we have stuck on ourselves. It is an important thing to fully understand. Here in the ashram, there are no isms, but the life of all isms is here. Whatever talks are given, the facts are presented in their true colors. So, remain in your own religions and become true Hindus, true Muslims, true Sikhs, true Christians. How? By realizing it inside you. A house without a lighted lamp has no charm. If there is no lamp burning in a church or mosque, the place seems deserted. So this body's true beauty can be apparent only when the light is within it. Beautiful is the man body in which the Lord is manifest. That soul's physical form is very beautiful in which God has appeared. A married woman's face becomes radiant when she is sitting beside her husband. This is a worldly example. The beauty of the body lasts but a few days, for it is attractive only when we, the soul, are in it. But this attractiveness is not apparent if the light has not been ignited within. A mansion can have no grandeur without a light shining out. Would it not appear deserted? We have got labels on us, but are we not just human beings? withdraw from outside, for the outer things attract us only so long as we attach ourselves to them. This is because our soul is Sat, Chit, and Anand, Mai, ever-existent, all wisdom, and eternal bliss. As long as it is attached to something, it goes on enjoying satisfaction. But when it voluntarily withdraws, or that particular thing is taken away, it becomes unhappy. If only it would concentrate itself, waves of bliss would then start to come out of it. But if it becomes one with God, then what? Oceans of happiness are already resounding within us, but at present we are tossing about, searching outwardly in the holy books or in temples and places of pilgrimage, and in various outer activities. We make outer copies, ring bells, light lamps, but for what purpose? The purpose is that he should manifest himself to us. To visit artificial temples and mosques is but a tragedy that will bestow untold misery upon the indweller of the true temple. We install some image of God in a temple and start worshipping it. It is an attempt to fashion God in stone. In Mecca, there is the Hajrul Aswad in remembrance of Hazrat Ibrahim. These are copies or images installed in remembrance, and we should therefore have respect for them. But what is better? Realized souls say, never say that mosque is better than temple. Better is that wherein shineth the light of God. They tell us not to consider the Kaaba better than the physical form, or the mosque better than the temple, or vice versa. Where the Lord's light is burning is the best place of all, though that form may have a black, white, blue, or yellow label on it. He might be a Hindu, Sikh, or Muslim, wherein all faiths masters have come. The question is how and when to see it, when we withdraw from outer attractions. One might spend one's whole life searching outwardly, but will not get it. Guru Amar Das Ji spent 70 years in search of God, traveling to holy places with full attention and devotion. In the end, what happened? In his own words, he tells us, I got exhausted in my search, in performing outer rituals, etc. Forgive me, but these outer temples are like dolls or playthings. Little girls learn about housekeeping, marriage, and many other things by playing, but when they grow up and marry, do they still play with dolls? So the masters say in very clear words that we are tired of playing with toys. Now we wish to see the true countenance of our beloved. That is all. Kabir says, all my doubts vanished when I saw the truth myself. Nanak says, Nanak's emperor is seen clearly. They all say that it can be seen. Christ said, behold the Lord. For example, in what way can one fully realize what strength is? It can be demonstrated by a wrestler doing his exercises. Similarly, if one sits near a realized soul with full, concentrated attention, one will gain assurance that there is a power. Otherwise, one is uncertain, though one may have read thousands or even millions of holy books. There was a Swami named Ram Tirath who visited America. Once he was sitting in Samadhi, a state of controlled attention. he used to do his own kind of yoga. An atheist lady was quietly sitting there waiting to meet him, but Ram Taraf did not get up for a long time. There is a radiation which comes from enlightened souls, and when the Swami opened his eyes, the lady joyfully told him, "I am an atheist no more." So, to be near the physical form of a master does give some assurance that there is God. Or, one can have the same assurance by seeing within. But remember this, that a wrestler is not made in one day. A strong man revels in his strength, and a weaker man wonders how he got it. When I was in Lahore, I used to go to the Ravi River at night. In those days, there was a certain man named Gunga who became famous all over India as a wrestler. Gunga means dumb, and he was dumb, hence the name, but he was a great wrestler. It was winter, so the days and nights were very cold. His father used to strip him naked, except for a brief loincloth, and would turn him out of the house and lock the door. All night the boy would do his exercises. No one had ever seen him exercising, but when he became famous, everyone knew him as a wrestler, and wherever he went, the people would say, "There goes Gunga, the wrestler." Just like this, my brothers, Mahatmas are not made in one day. Rome was not built in a day. Man is in the make. If anyone wants to be a wrestler, after 2 or 3 days of practice, his body will ache all over. But if he starts nursing his aches, how will he succeed? For success, perseverance is required. In the Gurbani, it is written that purity of thoughts and perseverance are needed. Do you want to become something worthwhile, or don't you? Hearing such words, an interest is awakened, but the work cannot be accomplished in one day. A child learning to read reads a few lines and promptly forgets them. He must read them again and again, but after much struggling with the learning, he one day may be able to write a book. Every saint has his past and every sinner a future. The people who are like us today can become something tomorrow. For this, true guidance is required from one who has seen, not anyone else. The second requirement is implicit obedience to one's guru. The master's words are not just words alone, but are the master himself. Added to this, perseverance is necessary. Just to hear some talk about God, one's mouth can start watering. A Mahatma, seeing the world with its mountains, earth, and sky, gets intoxicated. Now, how did he become what he is, and how can we become that? There is hope for everyone. We should find some God-realized person who has seen and can make us see. Then, every day, we can increase the inner experience. Today, if a man gets even a little intoxication, he thinks he has become a very big Mahatma. So remember, the destination is very far, very, very far. Many big rishis and munis, renunciates who sit on thorns, etc., started on the path to God. They were always saying, "Neti, neti," meaning, "This is not it, this is not it. There must be something else." It is said that for generations, philosophy has been tried and probed, but God's word remains where it always was. So does it remain unspoken as it always was unspoken? Guru Nanak has written that the people of the world have exhausted themselves explaining about God, but they have never reached the end of it. It is something like knowing what one ray of the sun is, and the intellect will not allow that there is anything beyond that. First, we should know this small temple of ours, the physical form. This in itself will give us some awakening as to what the greater form is, the Brahmand. I will now explain a hymn of Guru Amar Das, but before doing so, I would mention that when I take a hymn during satsang and proceed to explain it, people open their eyes wide and question in their minds, what hymn is this? Even explaining a hymn from this Guru Granth Sahib seems like a new thing to them. Some years ago, I went to my home in Syed Kasran. There were some Akalis there, one section of the Sikh religion, and they were somewhat fanatical. I held a satsang taking a hymn from the Guru Bani. I am attached to things that I see. How can I find thee, O Lord? All through they were looking at me and wondering where the hymn came from. The hymns themselves are very clear, but we never search for the true meaning in them. These holy words contain valuable jewels. Have you ever given any real thought to them? Parrot-like, we go on reading them without understanding anything. One day a Christian gentleman met me and he said, Christ is the light of the world. I asked him, have you studied the Bible thoroughly? For it is written therein, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. A little knowledge is dangerous. First, see what is in your own home, the physical house. Go into the folds of the holy books and see what is given there. The same knowledge that I am giving you is given therein, but for the need of a self-realized man, we do not understand what is written. Guru Amar Das Ji says, with the Guru's blessing, just see that this body you carry is the temple of God. He says that this body you are taking around is the temple of God. And when will you be able to see it as such? When the Guru blesses you with that sight. This temple was made by God's own hand. He is residing in there as well as us. All through life, he never leaves this body. But when at the end he leaves, we also have to leave the body. Then the body is taken to the cremation ground. This body is a temple of God, which has been given with a great blessing. We worship the images of it outwardly. This is all right, and we should show respect to those places where people sit in remembrance of God. But he, God, resides in this body and not in the temples made by man. Those were made in remembrance only. The true light shines in the human form. Is an image better than the true form? I would say that the true form is infinitely better. With great love, Guru Amar Das Ji has written that with the Guru's blessing you can see him inside you. What is a guru? Forgive me, but these days you can pick up a stone and find a guru underneath it. One finds so many gurus, teachers, that it is really hard to find a single disciple anywhere. These days, if a man studies any kind of outer attainment, he starts thinking that the man who taught him is a guru. Brothers, a true guru is one who takes away the curtain of ignorance and reveals the light within. The exact meaning of the word is dispeller of darkness. What is a guru's work? The guru has put the clarion, an age-old medication for the eyes, of knowledge in my eyes, dispelling the darkness of ignorance and filling my whole being with light. He says that the Guru puts the clarium of knowledge into our eyes. It is an example. Our inner eye cannot be opened until we withdraw from outer things, leave the senses, and concentrate behind the eyes, where the soul goes at the time of death. The God-realized man takes our scattered attention from outside and brings it to a point behind the eyes. Then that light, that radiance, bursts forth. I'll stop there. I was reading The Temple of God, published in the March 1970 issue of Satsang Desh, and I'll continue reading this at the next time I read. Thank you, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Claire. There were 55 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have come for you. It is for you to perform consultation, how it appears to you.